You're listening to the Customer Centric Show with Mel Telesikin, where we talk with successful business owners and experts to share smart ways to attract more customers, profits, and freedom by thinking about customers first. Now, here's your host, Mel Telesikin.
Hello and welcome. Today, my guest is Mark Cowper, founder and CEO of Recamazing. Mark has been an innovator in digital advertising for over 13 years, advising many of the world's leading brands on marketing strategy. Mark now advises these brands on how to achieve growth through customer advocacy. After seeing all types of business struggle to deal with the reduction in organic social reach, Mark developed Recamazing. The goal? To help deliver greater return on investment on social for all businesses. So great to have you with us, Mark. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, great to be here, Mel. Thanks so much for having me.
Fantastic. Great to have you. Now, we're going to learn all about what Recamazing is very, very soon, but I'd love to start off by asking who you believe is a perfect example of a customer-centric business.
Yeah, sure. I actually have a local favorite in my local area. I think actually when it comes to service, this is where small business can actually have a huge advantage over big business, because that's where they can really capitalize on their personalized service. So actually one of the best business experiences I had recently is with my dry cleaner. And you would think that it's a pretty undifferentiated type of service, that, you know, your clothes are done. Yes, maybe they're better at stains removal, but actually it's just been the personalized service. So the fact that we've developed a relationship, it was raining the other day. I went to pay and realized I didn't have all my cash. So I went to go to the ATM. They said, look, don't worry. We know you. You can do it next time. We'll keep a track of that. I've gone in before, and they've said that something isn't ready, and they could see that I wasn't upset. So they actually said, look, where do you live? You know, you're in the local area. We'll drop it to you. And little things that, you know, they don't actually cost them a dollar, you know, maybe a few cents on petrol going to my house. But I can tell you, I don't stop raving about them. I tell everyone in my community to go to them, and they've now developed a customer for life. Out of me, and it's something which is very easy to execute and implement for any business. It's just be a little bit more human. So that's been my personal experience. I heard a great story of a
Just before, I do like to know the names of these businesses, because we think it's a really good idea to give them a bit of a shout out. So do you mind telling us?
Yeah, sure.
Who are they?
Just the Roselle Laundromat. So it's just to literally, they are not good at branding. They're not a big business. They're just a family-owned business. So, look, they don't even really have any signage or logo or anything. But I tell everyone where they are on Darling Street in my local area, and I tell them to go see them and say hello and tell them I sent them there. So, they've got a lot of business off me just driving people there.
Yeah. Nothing quite like it, is there? Yeah. And you were going to say, before I interrupted, yes?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, look, I've just on this topic, I read a really great example of, you know, all that being human and how far that goes with consumers. So I read a really nice case study recently of a woman who accidentally locked her child in the car. So she pressed lock instead of unlock, and her keys were in there. Baby's in the car, you know, obviously very stressed out mother. She rung her roadside assist, and I won't go into names here because there's some negative connotations here, and I won't touch on that. But she rung her roadside assist company. They then said, look, you don't actually have lockout within your policy, so it's not something we can help you with. She said, look, I want to upgrade now. I've got a child in the car. Can you please help me? And they said, no, we don't allow instant upgrades. You're going to have to call back. I'm going to have to put through my manager. We'll call you back. So obviously very infuriated, she called their competitor straight away and said, look, I just need a once off. Can you come out? And they said, yeah, sure, we'll be there. She expected to pay a lot more considering she wasn't a member of theirs and it was a once off. So she kind of expected to pay through the nose. So when she asked how much is that, they said, actually, we don't believe in charging our customers for actually releasing their infants from the car. So it's free. So that story's now gone viral. It's been seen by hundreds of thousands of people, and it's been great for that business who's done that.
Was huge. I saw it through Facebook, Mark, and it made my hair stand on end. It was a great story, and it was almost unbelievable that first instance that someone forgot to be human, like you're saying, and to go, this is clearly a person in distress. We're talking about human life here.
Yeah.
Look, we'll be able to, even if they were to say, look, we'll be able to solve this. I've just got to speak to my manager. Just hold on. We'll be right with you. Let's make this happen, as opposed to sort of delaying the process, stretching it out, you know, telling them that it's against policy. I mean, it's insanity.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. That's where, you know, the policy is overriding common sense. Mm. And that's, you know, the antithesis of customer service. There has to be that human element where you can relate to people. And, you know, we see it a lot, a big trend towards being human, a big trend. Even, you know, as you introduced at the start, I've obviously worked with agencies with big brands, you know, Coke and Amex and all those things. And starting our own business, we've got very involved in the startup and, you know, very involved in the tech space. And what we're seeing a massive trend towards is, even when you're sending emails out, where it used to all be about the premiumness and the images and the visuals and making them all look very pretty to your customer base when you send them out, there's a massive trend towards actually it's just plain text and it's coming from a person. They say their name and they introduce themselves with a, hey, hope you're going well today, and actually becomes more colloquial and it's human. And look, even though these things often are populated by robots and it's a mass email, that the whole intention of it is to come across more human and let them know that if they want to reply, they can get hold of a real person. And it's almost like you're just receiving an email from a friend because people respond to it better.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right. Everyone's sort of talking now saying make your content sound like you, so that it also connects when people see you or meet you or connect with your brand in real life, that it all ties together perfectly and there's no sort of disjointedness in terms of how it reflects on the business and the personality of the business too.
So especially when you're the face of the business, it doesn't make sense for there to be that disconnect between yourself and how you would personally respond or how you would relate to the person, the language that you would use when compared to how the business should respond. And as I said, that's really where small business have always had it over big business, because there's so much policy and red tape and bureaucracy and words that you can't use and how you have to relate to people compared to small business, where they're human. It's about personal relationships. And actually that's what people actually gravitate towards. And that's why people always, you know, enjoy the service of a small business and have a higher propensity to recommend small business than the big businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree entirely. Great opportunity there. Now tell me, can you explain to us what recommazing is? And yeah, because it's brand new. Well, you've been running for a little while, right? But it's brand new to some degree, and we're sharing with everyone what it's about today, because I discovered what recommazing is doing and I started sort of jumping out of my skin. I was really excited because I think this is a brilliant, brilliant business that you're starting, an opportunity for business owners. And I'm just saying it right now there, we've got no connection. We're not paid. No. It's not a paid endorsement or anything like this. I genuinely really love what you're doing. So tell us, what is it? What's recommazing?
Well, that is a great introduction. So I'll try to live up to it. So look, for the everyday person or the everyday user of recommazing, we are essentially positive word of mouth supercharged via social media. So I felt that it was kind of crazy that while social media has put all our friends in one place, there was nowhere to access all their valuable trusted business recommendations to help us all have a better customer service experience. And so, I mean, every business owner, there's stats that say 82% of small business owners know the majority of new business comes from word of mouth referrals. Yet 61% have said they haven't seen a dollar of return from their social media investment. And when we kind of think about that, we go, well, that's kind of crazy, because we know how important word of mouth is. We know it's driving businesses. And social media, the way it's structured at the moment, the average person actually has 338 friends. So why isn't that supercharging word of mouth already? And kind of when I looked at it, there was no space just to access recommendations. So while there's all types of conversations going on social media, and particularly Facebook, and I use Facebook as a busy example because it is the most prevalent, that there's all these, you know, there's cat videos, there's all types of conversations, but when it comes to just sourcing out the recommendations and being able to store those recommendations, being able to search for them, being able to request recommendations, there was no service actually providing that for people. But it's something we see occurring on a daily basis and a need for on a daily basis. So that was the consumer side. We sort of developed out of, we are the word of mouth conversation you have over a dinner table where you say, does any of my friends know a good XYZ business, a mortgage broker, an accountant, a social media coach, for instance. Mm. And for businesses on the other side, what we allow any service-based business to do is ask their customers to recommend them to all their social contacts. So essentially, what the stats show again is that normally people tell up to 8 people about a good business experience, but that largely happens offline, exactly as I said, over a dinner table or a barbecue or over a beer. However, the average person has 338 friends. So we supercharge that ability for word of mouth, and then we show you more details and more data around your advocates and who they are, what they're saying about your business. So you can start to learn, what is it actually that people are caring most about my business? What are these positive things that are really making a mark on them and making them so impressed with us that they're actually trying to convert their friends to it? So it allows you more insight into why your business is good and what you should be actually capitalizing on to further optimize your customer experience as well.
Great. Now, I heard you say before it's for service-based businesses. So is it only service-based businesses?
Yeah, so it is only for service-based businesses. And the reason being, well, at least for now,
yes.
The reason being is that when we did consumer testing, so we did a lot of focus groups, and people felt that with a product, I can touch it, I can feel it. If it doesn't work, I know that I'm kind of protected by consumer rights laws where I can take it back, I can get a refund, and it needs to be fit for purpose. Mm. However, with a service, there's a lot of subjectivity. And if by the time I've had my house built or my tax done or I've had my physio appointment, I'm up for the bill, regardless of how well I thought it was going to be or what I was expecting and what actually occurred,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to be charged.
Yes, yes.
So what we found is that there's a more inherent need for a recommendation when it comes to service-based businesses. And you'll notice now that I've said this when you hear your friends or when you see people post online around, does anyone know have a recommendation for? It's often service-based business, or more often than not, service-based business. Mm.
Yes, absolutely. And especially for things that are out of, I guess, the ordinary, where you're not exposed to them all the time and you're looking for a genuinely detailed response as opposed to something sort of basic. It's fairly important, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, if you're going to go build your house and do a renovation, you want to know that even before you invest all that money that you're getting, you know, a good recommendation. And that's the problem, that at the moment, you know, and I'm never saying that we're replacing any marketing tool. So Google, massively important. You should be spending time on Google. They, you know, your number one driver of search results. And we're not replacing review site. But what we are doing is carving out a niche around positive word of mouth and supercharging that for business. And what we're seeing at the moment is that, you know, there was another survey done recently with by a media agency, and they actually surveyed people and said, when you're looking for an internet provider, and you know, there's not many options for internet providers, so the choice isn't that vast. But when they actually ask people, saying, when you're looking for an internet provider, how do you go about actually making that decision? Mm. And people said, well, 61% of people said, I don't actually go online anymore. I actually just go to my friends and ask them, because what they find is they're inundated with information. You know, I got a million results in 0.2 of a second on Google, and I can't tell which one's better than the other because they all say they're great. They're all brands. They're all going to talk from their own opinion. But what really shortens my path to purchase, what makes it a lot easier for me, and when I know that I'm going to have a better customer experience, is when my friends can recommend something, because I've all of a sudden gone from a million results to maybe two or three, and maybe I still need to go and I'll check them out, but it's made my life a hell of a lot easier to just check out those two or three.
So you mentioned before that it's a positive recommendation site, which differentiates it from other review sites. Was that a distinctively different angle that you were taking?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's for a number of reasons, both on the consumer and the business side. So what we see as a natural behavior already occurring when dealing with friends with a natural word of mouth is very, very different to a review site. And I think review sites have trained us to, when we go online, to go, okay, well, I need to know the negative and I need to know the positive because I don't know who these people are. You know, these are people, you know, I've never met in my life and they're reviewing a business. So I'm going to look at this and I'm going to look at all the positive and negatives. I'm probably somewhere in between. I'm going to try to read between the lines and see if I relate to these people. And the truth's, you know, I have to kind of guess which one's true. Now, what we find with natural word of mouth is when people are around a dinner table with their friends, they don't need to know the negatives. No one says, hey guys, I need to find a good mortgage broker. Can anyone recommend one? And also tell me all the negative ones as well, because all you want to do is make your life easier and shorten your purchase path.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
It. Yeah. And look, and as a business owner, you know, I've had a business in a hospitality area, and, you know, sometimes reviews were a difficult thing because they are subjective, like you say. And you then have to go into reputation management mode and, you know, reply politely and try to investigate it and discover those issues to see if there is something underlying that you're not seeing for yourself. It is, you know, it's difficult. So for as a business, this is what excited me when I first discovered what you're doing, Mark, is that you're actually making sure that it's a positive environment. So like you say, there's no need to be – like we don't need to hear the negatives. We just need the good stuff to make the decision to get on with things. So my next question then is around how do you monitor that when people are putting this content in that they're not hijacking it and putting the negatives in?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was really important for us. And as you said, you know, what we found – on regardless of which business we worked with their social media marketing, that it takes an inordinate amount of time out of their busy days to actually manage their social, particularly when that negative opinion can be freely given. So that was a really important part for us, because what business owners told us was they don't have the time to do that. They've got a core business that they should be focusing on, and they want to get a sale. They don't want to have to be thinking about posting content or moderating content or getting back to people who have left negative reviews. So what we've done in our site, you know, not only is our whole site and marketing around positive, and, you know, that's the way we actually address it with consumers, but we also have built in a negative sentiment tracker. So let's say someone gets a request for a recommendation from your business and it says, you know, we'd love for you to recommend the customer-centric coach to people. Please click below this link and let your friends know about us. Now, let's say for whatever reason, you had an unhappy customer and they went, okay, I'm going to click, which essentially is a recommendation and does tell all their customers they're recommending you. So it kind of, you know, is already doing the wrong thing of what they want.
Yes.
But then they get the option to leave a comment. And let's say they said, guys, I know I said I love this business, but actually I don't, you know, never use this business. We have a negative sentiment tracker in place, which actually picks up any negative sentiment and it hides the comment, but keeps the recommendation. And it sends a message to the business saying, you've got a comment, which is potentially negative. Please review it. You can decide to either hide or show it. And we remind the consumers that this is a place essentially to help their friends make quicker, smarter business decisions. It's not a place to litter the feed with all the negative businesses. There are plenty of other places to do that.
Yes.
And
absolutely. It's not the environment for it. That's not what you've created it for. Otherwise, sure, if you want to do that, yeah, go somewhere else, I guess, essentially.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love about it. I, you know, I'm very keen for this. I think it's exciting and I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all unfolds. Yeah, love it, Mark. Now, tell me, what's your role in the business then? And give us a bit of a background, please, on how you came to be or how you came to start Recommizing.
Yeah, so I'm the founder and CEO. But essentially, to be honest, it doesn't mean much. In a startup, CEO is kind of a vanity title for any startup person. So, you know, I do everything from entering data to everything. Our whole team wears a lot of hats.
Someone I know, Mark, sorry, tells me that CEO actually stands for chief of everything in a startup. So
exactly. And that, you know, I'm going to steal it actually, because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a team, we work with a team of, you know, quite a really strong team, but they're exactly the same. They're entrepreneurial people who we wear a lot of hats and we try to do a lot of different roles. And we've all come from a marketing background. And that's certainly where, you know, the fortunate position I was in is that I was able to work with some of, you know, the leading brands of the world and understand what their challenges were from a social side and online digital marketing point of view. However, I also have a wife at home who runs five small businesses. She runs five rhythmic gymnastics centers. So I was able to see that the same problems that my clients were having when they would say, look, we know we provide a great service. We just can't find a way to get our customers recommending them to their social contacts. You know, Facebook's not delivering that. A like isn't a recommendation. A follow is not a recommendation. You know, the number one reason why people actually like brands on Facebook is to receive a freebie. They may not have any intent to purchase anything off you ever. We couldn't actually tell our clients which of our followers were actually genuine customers. They may have just liked our page to receive content or to enter a competition or to win tickets, whatever it might be. So what we found was this real disparity between being able to achieve genuine customer advocacy and being able to identify where our genuine advocates are to be able to harness them and nurture them. So when I kind of looked at that of big clients, and then I also saw my wife sitting there going, well, I don't have time to post all this content on social. I've got to be worrying about all my customers and getting more sales. You know, I'm a small business owner. I don't have time. I don't have an agency to deal with that for me. And really what I really want to focus on is just getting my customers to recommend me and drive my word of mouth. And it kind of amazed me when I sat there and went, well, why isn't there a place for that? Why can't I just access my friends' recommendations in one place? So that's where the idea came about. And as I said, there was a lot of other insights that came into that around what businesses wanted and what they were sick of and what was hurting them from a social perspective. And, you know, I know myself that trying to keep on top of all the change that happens with algorithm changes on the social platforms, you know, that was my job full time. And it was a, you know, it was a tough one even then to keep a hold of. So, exactly. So, you know, it's super difficult for a small business owner to do that because they don't have the time to do it, or they can't employ the agency to do it, certainly. So, that's kind of what we've done. We stripped it down. It's just about set up your profile, focus on your core business, ask your customers to recommend you with your profile link, and in one click, they can recommend you to all their social contacts.
And then you can take that step further, like you said, the testimonial, which it means so much more than a like or, so it's actually providing some real content and building, I guess, the degree of trust. So like you said, it's within your friendship circle or the people that you trust or and you value their opinion. So
absolutely. Well, the research shows that, easily by far every year, global research shows friend recommendations are the highest converter on any sale, and far more than a public review site. In fact, we've just commissioned our own research around exactly that, trying to understand the motivations between why people recommend and why they rely on recommendations. And importantly for businesses, what we found is that over half of people say as long as their friend recommends a business, it doesn't matter how many negative reviews that business has on their profile online because their friend recommendation will always outweigh that. So it was it's a really interesting space. If as long as you can get customers recommending you to friends, then you're always going to do well from a sales point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. Overriding the negatives, which is exactly what you want it to be doing. Okay, so Mark, the next question I want to know is where are you starting with recommending? I know you've got some businesses on board already. Are you looking at particular industries to begin with to bring on board and to for them to access recommending?
Yeah. So what we've done, where we started off was just opening up business registration. So late in April, the site was open and we really just kind of did little press articles and talk to people in the industry. And what we've been able to do is get 5,000 businesses registered as a result of that. So we know we've certainly hit a nerve. We know that anytime you get interest from that many businesses, we know that, you know, they're obviously struggling with social. They're obviously interested in supercharging their word of mouth. Now, those businesses vary from corner hairdressers to some of the biggest brands in Australia. So Virgin Mobile are on board, Open Colleges, Peter Warren Automotive Dealerships, flatmates.com.au. So there's a whole range of businesses.
Online and different, off,
Yeah, exactly, in different industries, but certainly, as I said before, service-based is where we're starting. But we're seeing interest right across different industries. Real estate's a big one, recruitment's a big one, even B2B around marketing, coaches and business development has been a big one as well.
Yes, because everyone's looking for that opportunity. Like you said, if 5,000 businesses are signing up, you're clearly offering a solution that, you know, is the answer to their problems. And it's just getting it out there and making sure that, I guess, it's further than word of mouth, because sometimes people need that invitation, like you're saying, or that sort of little prompt to say, hey, you know, feel free to give us a testimonial, give us some positive feedback.
Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest things that we see with business owners. And we, you know, we talk to a lot of them, obviously, because we want the feedback from them. But often they're getting this word of mouth, and they ask, you know, how can I do that more? And we say, well, go and ask them. And a lot of businesses just kind of forget, or I'm not sure if it's just our personality. You know, in the States, actually, it's very ingrained in there. They're very forthright with asking for recommendation, asking for reviews, and, you know, constantly on top of that marketing. I think we're probably, you know, we're not as forthright with that, but there's no reason we shouldn't be. You know, people actually want to support businesses, and further to that, the number one reason why people actually recommend thing is because they want to help their friends know about these businesses. They want the social kudos that comes with knowing about these great businesses and helping their friends find them. So it is about, exactly as you said, the fact that we make it really, you know, ridiculously simple. We just go, here's your profile link, get it in front of as many customers as possible and ask for their recommendation. And we've made it super easy for the customer just to click, log in with Facebook, and one click, they're done. It recommends it to all their social contacts.
Fantastic. So people could send that out via their email contacts if they've got a customer list, a database, or they can put it out to social as well and their followers there?
100%. Yeah. So what we've found, we also did, you know, in my previous life, we did all the marketing around Shop Small for American Express, which was a campaign which encouraged people to go and shop small every year in November for the month. What we found is that small businesses, what really resonated with them is that we created a toolkit for that. So that's exactly the similar thinking we've done with Recamazing. We provide them not only with the link when they sign up, but we've actually created them ads they can use. We've created, here's some example copy you can put in your email. Here's some example copy you can put on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. Here's an image you can actually put on there. Here's a poster you can print out and put on your store. So, you know, the businesses themselves aren't in the business of, for the most part, of creating copy and design. So we've gone ahead and done that for them. We've got them professionally done. We've tested them. We know they work. So the business can literally click, download, and utilize all our assets to help with their own marketing.
Love it. So that's like when I had my business, you'd get like a Twitter toolkit or a Facebook toolkit, so you could have those prompts to invite people to be doing that. So I like it. That's excellent. Now, you mentioned something just before about, you know, referrals. And in the States, you were talking as well about how that's a really common thing to do. It's also quite common for in the US that those recommendations are sometimes through affiliates or commission based, and they're not necessarily authentic. So I noticed that you don't allow businesses to offer incentives. So why do you think that's important?
Yeah, you've kind of hit the nail on the head there. That what we've seen is, you know, I'll give you a really perfect example. So what we've seen is a growing distrust in review sites. And again, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form to not use them. They're very important, and we're not trying to replace those. However, what we're seeing is that even overseas, the BBB, the Better Business Bureau, which is the overseas equivalent of the Australian ACCC, which is the consumer watchdog, they've actually gone out and done a consumer-facing campaign around stop using review sites to choose businesses because they're a gamed system. There's nothing to stop anyone signing up a fake account and putting a negative review on a competitor or a positive review on themselves. We've seen a 400% increase in false reviews over the last 6 years, and we've seen 19 criminal charges in the US alone against businesses employing pay-to-say agencies in the Philippines to constantly write, you know, positive reviews and false reviews, and actually advertising to basically say, hey, write a review and we'll pay you $50.
I've seen it on the I've seen it on in the copy section of Fiverr. You know, people who are actually promoting, this is what I do. I'll review it for you, and it's disappointing because that's not what it's about.
Absolutely. And you know, what we're seeing is there's a huge shift to authenticity. And what we know is that, well, the reason why we don't allow incentives is because you actually, as a business, you want to understand who your genuine advocates are, because they're the people who actually mean the most to you. So you don't want people who You don't want to have to identify people who are just recommending you because you've put an incentive in front of them or because they're getting a freebie. You know, that you can actually just use Facebook for that. You can get your likes and you can grow your fan base and you can use them as leads. You know, Facebook's actually great for that. What we are is a very different section of the market around, we allow you to identify the people who are out there organically already recommending your business. And these are very important people because they're shown to buy more often. They have a higher average weight of purchase. And because they're actively converting people to your business, those people are actually shown to have a 16% higher customer lifetime value. So identifying those people, building relationship with those people, understanding why they actually love your business and how you can optimize your experience to further whatever you're doing well to keep doing it is really important and really valuable for the business. And there was research done around people who love brands and who are out there actively recommending brands. And when they asked these people, why do you recommend brands? And they got to pick options. Only 1% of those advocates said, the reason why I advocate a brand is to receive a freebie or an incentive, because the feedback came back saying, well, actually, unless I genuinely believe in the service and the fact that you're going to do a good job when I recommend you to my friend, then there's no way I'm recommending you because I'm putting my own neck on the line. Mm. And if you're going to receive bad, if my friend's going to receive bad service, then I look bad.
Reflects on
you. Yeah. Exactly. So it's about authenticity.
And I think too, when you can actually do yourself some real damage, brand damage or business damage by putting out to the people who do love what you do, that you're actually offering them something for you know, you're actually offering something. It then actually takes away, I think, from your the trust that people have, the fact that you'd pay people to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gift them in some way. Or gift them some way for their recommendation. That's not the idea.
Absolutely. And what we say is there's a big difference for incentivizing advocacy compared to nurturing. So from our point of view, and certainly on our platform, we don't allow incentivization. We allow the consumers to report if they've been incentivized, because as a business, it should be, you know, you're actually doing yourselves a discredit if you're investing in incentivizing advocacy. What you should be doing is focusing that investment on bettering your customer service so it grows organically. You're far, far better off in the long term to drive organic advocacy and organic word of mouth through your customer experience, because that will always pay off. You're never going to be able to sustain a business if it's based on short-term incentives, because you have to rely on that far too much unless you're building first the ability to actually deliver great service. And so what we say is ensure you're optimizing that customer experience. Once people are organically recommending you, then yes, these are the people to nurture. You can start involving your business, start giving discounts to those people once you know they're already organic, and start to nurture them, but don't incentivize them for that recommendation in the first place.
No, that's good. And that was going to be my next question, because I do believe in rewarding your loyal customers, and I do believe in, you know, giving them little perks from time to time to thank them and to let them know that you actually do value them. And, you know, if you are in retail or hospitality, you can do that fairly easily because you have that product to gift. So that was going to be my next question. So when you talk about not offering incentives, you're talking about for the public recommendation, or
yes, exactly. Yeah. So what we always say is, you know, we don't allow incentives to say recommend us to friends and you receive X off. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is identify within recommending, and you're able to see the dashboard of the people who are recommending you. You want to identify your genuine advocates, and then once you know who they are, then those are the loyal people. Those are the people who are so valuable to your business. Absolutely. Go and reward their loyalty, reward the fact that they love your business, but don't, it's almost muddying the waters. And it's exactly what happened with Facebook. And it's exactly why there was no place to be able to identify who our genuine advocates are compared to people who just came in to win something or get a freebie, because we dirtied the water. You know, we had all different things around, this is where our customers come, but it's also where our leads come. It's also where we drive everyone. Which is, you know, it's actually great for Facebook. They have a lot of people. You know, it's fantastic. And, you know, I'm not talking it down, but as far as now being able to just identify the people who genuinely love our business, it's impossible to do. So that's what we provide.
Yeah, learning who your ideal or your best customers are, so that you can attract more of them. That's pretty much it, isn't it? Now, Sounds fantastic. I know why you developed this now. It seems really clear. So you mentioned before you've got some of those businesses on board, some big businesses. Our audience are small and medium-sized businesses. So you've given us a lot of detail around how it benefits them. Can you tell us what people need to do then to find out, to discover Recamazing, get the toolkit, get underway so that they can start inviting their people to provide those testimonials, those recommendations?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the good news for small and medium business is actually we provide a free service. So the ability to ask your customers to recommend you to their social contacts is free and will always be free. So we have a standard free profile. We want to help those corner hairdressers. We want to help the corner mum and pop shops. We want to help small business grow. And we know the best way to do that is to supercharge their word of mouth. And we're big fans of small business. We've, you know, been involved with them quite a bit. So that will always be free. Now, if you want to understand a little bit more about the data, if you have the ability to spend some time and dig into the details about why is it that people love your business, and if you want a little bit more branding, then it's $65 a month. However, that is free right now. So if you're signing up right now, if you go to recamazing.com and visit the bottom of the page, you'll see where you can go to create a business account. You actually get that $65 a month account for free, and you get that on a 90-day premium special.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, so people can actually access that. They can access a bit more data. At the end of the 90 days, if they don't want to continue and they don't want to pay, we don't ask for any credit card details. You simply drop back to the free profile. You can upgrade back at any time. And for the big brands, it's $15,000 for 6 months. And that gives them a lot of analysis, which no more small, medium business is going to spend the time doing anyway. So we really just commercialize it off the big guys who have the ability to pay.
Yeah, and which is fantastic for our listeners because they've got this, you know, great new, brand new platform that integrates with all the other platforms that you could be possibly using or not even using. And the fact that it's free for small business owners and always will be, I think, is enormous. And as I said from the beginning, I think it's really clear that I love what you're doing, and I'm really excited that I got to speak to you and to be able to share it with our listeners, because the thing is, when I had my business, I've just found that was the biggest driver, and it was not until of new customers. It was not until I really sat and thought about it that, hey, this is these people who are coming in. You know, when I got to have a conversation, it was all based on someone had told me that I had to come here. And so then we started focusing on just inviting people to review us on those websites. And it was just the invitation that was great. And now there's a platform that you've created that is all about the positives, and that's what we want. And I think there'll be for general users out there who are not business owners, there'll be a lot of people who will really embrace this positive element in the review or the recommendation. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I have an advocate out of you.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, that's this exact process is essentially, you know, the reason why you love it, and all those insights are fantastic for us. And, you know, that's exactly kind of what we've tried to automate with Recamazing, that you're able to see the exact reasons why people love it. My friend told me how to do it. I did it, and that was great. You know, that's what we're trying to instill, all best practice marketing that we've got from our big brands, and make it as simple as possible to execute with via a small business and you know, time and cost effective. I'm really happy that you kind of picked up on that and you see the value in that.
Yeah, good stuff. So if people want to find out, they go to recamazing.com. Is that anywhere else they should be looking?
No, that goes to our site, recamazing.com. They can go on their mobile or their desktop. We're completely mobile responsive. And just go on the bottom. You can go check it out as a consumer, or, as I said, you can go to the bottom of the page to create a business account and run it from there.
Get to it. Sounds good. Thanks so much for your time, Mark. Really great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Anytime. Look, you make me feel great hearing your positive feedback. So I'm happy to drop back in anytime. It's great for my ego.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look, best of luck for the launch, and we'll definitely keep in touch with you as we go. It'd be great to hear more about how Recamazing will be changing, because I expect that as a digital platform that you will be, you know, optimizing and changing things as you go as well, so we can keep up to date with those changes.
Absolutely. We have some huge plans in place to drive even more value for businesses. So, I will definitely keep you up to date. Have me back anytime.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Customer Centric Show. For additional smart ways to attract more customers, profits, and freedom, head on over to the website www.customercentricshow.com.